From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good morning, everyone. You're very welcome to our gospel program. Thank you for joining with us around God's Word. We'll be turning to John's Gospel again, so please have your Bible open there at the end of chapter 18. We'll be considering the third part of our ongoing study, the Lord Jesus before Pilate. May I remind you of our program at 3 o'clock this afternoon. We started the new time last week, though there was a bit of a technical hitch. However, we're hoping that all will go smoothly today. We're going to play the first part of a sermon I preached in our church on a most solemn subject, the dreadfulness of hell. So do join us at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Now here is a hymn before we turn to the closing verses of John 18. It's the SMS Singers with He the Pearly Gates Will Open.
Love divine, so great and wondrous, He that mighty pure sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus, just the same through tests of time.
Please turn with me once more to John's Gospel. We're going to look at chapter 18, beginning at the verse 38, through to the 7th verse of chapter 19. We're considering still the Lord Jesus on trial before Pilate. This is part 3 of that study. The final 3 verses of chapter 18 provide us with an introduction to the events recorded in chapter 19. First of all, they remind us of how much the Savior was despised by the religious leaders in his day. Pilate was a man deeply troubled in mind and soul about the case that was before him. I have no doubt that Pilate knew that Jesus of Nazareth was unlike any man that he had ever met. He knew that he was not guilty of any crime, and that it was out of envy the Jewish leaders were pressing these false charges against him. Pilate had executed many men before. That was part of the duties of a Roman governor. He was by no means a squeamish man. The shedding of blood, whether innocent or not, would have meant little to him. Yet he was very uneasy about having to execute Jesus. In verses 38 to 40 of chapter 18, he attempts for the second time to rid himself of the responsibility of dealing with Christ. He reminds the Jewish leaders of the custom of releasing a prisoner at the feast of the Passover. He suggests that he, therefore, release the Savior under that scheme, but his attempt fails. Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Verse 40. That the leaders of the Jews thought little of Jesus of Nazareth may be seen in the fact that they eagerly swapped him for a murderer and a robber. In Mark chapter 15 and the verse 7, we are told that there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Barabbas then was a rebel, an insurrectionist, a robber, and a murderer. But the Jewish leaders preferred this evil man to Jesus of Nazareth. For they all cried out again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Pilate, however, still appeared anxious to spare the Lord Jesus from death. Pilate decides to scourge Christ. This was entirely in keeping with what the Savior had earlier told his disciples would happen unto him. "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again." Mark chapter 10, verses 33 and 34. A Roman scourging is a most painful and cruel experience. Many victims died under it. The very flesh of the victim would have been fled from their bones, as is most likely. A number of men would have exerted all their strength in beating the victim on the back with rods. This is what would have happened to the Lord Jesus. Pilate then handed the beaten, bleeding Savior over to his soldiers, knowing well how they would treat him. There was no Geneva Convention governing the actions of soldiers against prisoners in our Savior's day. What these rough and crude soldiers did was done with the full permission of their superiors. It is clear that these soldiers knew the claims that Christ made of himself, and they let it be known what they thought of such claims. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Chapter 19, verses 2 and 3. A clearer rejection of the gospel message could not be manifested. Of course, it is possible to reject Christ today without apparently acting as did these soldiers. But remember, the rejecter of Christ shares the soldier's views of Christ's claims and endorses the soldier's rejection of him, and consequently, they become partakers of the soldier's crime and guilt. It is clear from verse 4 that Pilate thought that if he subjected Christ to such treatment, it would satisfy the Jewish leaders. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." Verses 4 and 5. What an admission of his guilt Pilate makes with these words, "I find no fault in him." Three times he uttered this statement. Chapter 18, verse 38, chapter 19, verse 4, and verse 6. And yet he had subjected Jesus to this cruel and inhumane suffering, and all to placate the wicked cruelty of the Saviour's persecutors. In Luke chapter 23, in the verse 16, he is reported as saying, I will therefore chastise him and release him. That was his plan. It is not new for politicians to attempt to buy off murderers by giving them a little of what they want. That was Pilate's policy. But seeing Jesus humiliated, beaten, bleeding, torn, and fainting did not satisfy his enemies. They wanted him dead. The third thing I want us to notice is that there was no pity at all in the hearts of Christ's enemies. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Verses 6 and 7. Seeing the Saviour standing before them in a most pitiful state, did not melt or move the hearts of his detractors. They must see him suffer yet even greater pain. Crucify him! Crucify him! They cry. They place on record just why they wish him dead, because he made himself the Son of God. How true is this statement? Christ did indeed make, or as the word means, show himself to be the Son of God. His many miracles had shown that he was indeed God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, manifest in the flesh. But his substantiated claim, instead of being the basis of their receiving him and worshipping him, is the very basis of their hatred. We are reminded that the heart of man, of all men, let it be noted, is at war with God. The rejection and crucifixion of Christ is not just the crime of a few Jewish leaders some 2,000 years ago. It is a crime that all men are guilty of, as the continued rejection of the gospel of Christ indicates. I present Christ to you today as the only Redeemer of sinners. What is your response? Do you fall before him, as did Thomas, with the cry, My Lord and my God? Or is your cry, Away with him? The choice is simple and cannot be avoided. Choose Christ today. Oh, that you may heed this gospel warning. Join me this afternoon at 3 o'clock when we will introduce a new gospel study entitled The Dreadfulness of Hell. It's taken from a sermon I preached some time ago in our church here in Kilskerry. God bless you, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here, and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless His word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.